Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. I'm here with WBUR reporter Walter Wuthman. Walter, how are you feeling today?
Daryl, I'm awake.
Yeah, I heard you had a late night.
The news never sleeps, I guess. Neither do I, or I will later.
Yeah, man. Let's hurry up and let's get you a nap. We are talking to you on Thursday morning after you spent some time last night at the MGM Music Hall in Fenway. But you were not there for a concert. You were there to hear our Boston Mayor Michelle Wu give her first State of the City address. What was the energy like in the room?
The energy was high. You know, people were really excited to be there. As you said, it was Michelle Wu's first address. MGM Music Hall is this big new music venue next to Fenway Park, so it didn't have those sort of stuffy government vibes. There were probably 3,000 people there. Everyone was dressed up. It had sort of a gala feel. People really, really excited to mark this moment. You know, Michelle Wu being the first woman, the first person of color elected mayor of Boston. And this was her first State of the City speech, which is the big annual event where the mayor of Boston gets to reflect on how well they say they're doing and lay out priorities for the next year ahead.
Mm. Walk us through it. You know, what were some of the top points she made during the speech?
So these speeches, you know, notoriously are heavy on ceremony and pomp and circumstance and kind of light on policy. But Michelle Wu, being sort of the self-proclaimed wonk mayor that she is, she flipped that on its head. She announced a lot of policy and really dove into specific government initiatives in this speech.
Mm. Well, transportation and infrastructure has been a big priority for Mayor Wu. What does she have to say about her plan for that?
Yeah, she, you know, reiterated the fact that she is pushing at the state level to get a Boston-specific seat on the MBTA's board of directors. As you know, as a former transportation reporter, Daryl, the MBTA is the state agency, but a lot of its services are in Boston. So advocates for years have been pushing for more specific representation from Boston on that board. She reiterated that. You know, she highlighted the three free bus lines that her administration put in place. And then on infrastructure, she said she's going to sign an executive order ordering that all new city buildings and major renovations be fossil fuel free. She set out a timeline to get fossil fuels out of all Boston public housing properties, you know, and highlighted all the bike lanes her administration has built and committed to building more in the years ahead.
Okay. I also understand education has been a big issue for her, having avoided the state takeover of the Boston School District. What does she have to say about the city schools?
Yeah, you know, it's a big deal that the city is keeping control of its schools. You know, this is Wu's opportunity to implement a lot of reforms, you know, fix school buildings to boost performance. So she committed $50 million to enhancing special education inclusion in the schools. Mm. She committed to hiring more bilingual social workers to work in school buildings. And she announced this pilot program where seniors at Fenway High School can elect to stay a fifth year and take classes at UMass Boston so they can be accumulating college credit while they're still in high school, get a head start on college, and save a lot of money.
Okay. She brought up the BPDA. And for folks who are familiar with Michelle Wu, it's fair to say she's not the biggest fan of the BPDA. You know, there's a lot of history there, a lot of bad history there. Can you first tell the listeners who may not be aware, what is the BPDA, and then break down what Michelle Wu had to say about her plans for that agency?
So the Boston Planning and Development Agency is this huge and powerful agency that oversees the vast majority of development in Boston. And it's sort of been cobbled together like a Frankenstein over decades, you know, through urban renewal policies. So it encompasses quite a lot. You know, it owns and develops buildings, but it also oversees the permitting and development process for much of the private development in the city. So this is kind of how Wu laid out her fundamental criticism of the agency in the speech on Wednesday night.
Since 2016, it's been called the Boston Planning and Development Agency, or BPDA, but the focus on building buildings rather than community has held back the talent of its staff and deepened disparities in our city.
For years, community advocates like Michelle Wu used to be have argued that it's kind of a conflict of interest that the BPDA both owns and develops buildings and then also oversees the development process for private developers. They've wanted split up. You know, Michelle Wu has called to abolish it. So last night, she laid out the first steps in dismantling this agency. She said she was going to start moving staff out of the BPDA and into a new city planning and design department. She's also setting up a new planning advisory council of cabinet heads and city leaders to sort of chart the course of how they're going to continue to reform this agency in the years ahead.
Okay, so that's the BPDA. How is she thinking about housing? Did she bring that up during the speech? We know she has this plan to introduce a proposal for rent control in the city. So what does she have to say about that?
Definitely. I think most of the speech was dedicated to housing. That was kind of the theme of the year. You know, she said she was funneling millions of dollars of federal money into housing. She said that through a city audit, they had identified over 150 vacant city-owned lots that were ready for development right now. They were going to offer them up to developers, and anyone with a good plan to build affordable housing on those lots could get the land for free. Mm-hmm. And then, as you mentioned, the big kind of marquee issue right now is rent control, which is sort of a third rail in Massachusetts politics that Michelle Wu is jumping right onto without fear. It's sort of a compromise plan as it stands, and it's already drawn a lot of criticism, including from Boston City councilors who were in the audience last night. After the speech, I found Councilor Tanya Fernandez-Anderson. She has been vocal in her criticism of Michelle Wu's proposal. She thinks it's not progressive enough. Here's a little bit of what she told me.
It wasn't totally what the advocates and the community have been fighting for, but I think it's a work in progress. So let's get to it. We'll get to the chamber. We'll figure it out, right? We'll iron out the kinks, and hopefully we'll get the best rent control out.
So she needs to convince the city council, she needs to convince state legislators who were also there in the audience that night, and she needs to convince the new governor who was sitting right up front last night as well.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more on the state of the city.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. So she has some pretty ambitious goals for the future, but I'm curious to know how she reflected back on her first year in office.
It was really positive. You know, as an observer, she seems to really like being the mayor of Boston. One moment that really stuck out to me was, you know, amongst all of this policy and these new proposals, she said, you know, we're doing all of this on top of filling 5,000 potholes,
collecting more than 500 tons of curbside composting, and plowing through 53 inches of snow last year.
So these are just the nuts and bolts, basic functioning of city government. And she seems to really love that part of the job. That was a huge applause line, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, interestingly, she did not touch on some of the harder aspects of the job. We know it's been a difficult year. There have been the protesters outside of her house, you know, fighting the vaccine mandate, you know, banging pots and pans and yelling at times racist and sexist slurs at her, at her family in the house. She's in a long and bitter fight with the police union over their contract that might be going to an arbitrator soon. It is not all been sunshine and roses for Mayor Wu in her first year. But last night in her speech, she seemed happy and self-assured and excited for the years ahead.
So it sounds like a lot was covered in this speech. When you spoke to people after the event, what did they have to say?
Yeah, the speech was well received. As I said, it was a welcoming crowd to begin. They stood and clapped for her before she even started. But Councillor Anderson, who I spoke to about her criticisms of Michelle Wu's rent control policy, apart from that, she had really high marks for the speech itself. Here's what she said.
It was like nice and easy and quick. It wasn't boring. I mean, the woman memorized her entire speech. Like, it was incredible.
Yeah, you know, Wu is she's a classically trained musician. So it kind of felt like she had prepared for this speech like a recital.
In your opinion, well, you know, you cover the city a lot. Is there anything you expected to be in the speech that maybe wasn't as heavily hit as you or the people you spoke to might have expected?
You know, the speech was a little light on education, which she addressed and sort of teed up, saying, you know, I'll have more to say next year on this. So if this year was the housing speech, she was suggesting that next year is going to be the education speech. There was a lot about housing affordability, but some people in the crowd I spoke with after, Councillor Anderson, State Senator Liz Miranda, said they would have loved to hear even more specifically about, you know, racial equity and the racial wealth gap in Boston.
Walt, thank you so much for coming through and talking with us after having such a long night.
Thank you. Thanks, Daryl.
That's WBUR reporter Walter Wuthman. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. Make sure you hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at WBUR The Common, or you can send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. And I got to let you know, The Common is produced by Franny Monahan and Caitlin Harrop. It's mixed by Emily Jankowski, Matt Reed, and Paul Vitkus. It's edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you later.